Once there was a civilization, much like ours, but with a greater intelligence, greater powers, and a greater capacity for good.
Even though you've been raised as a human being, you are not one of them.
Well, hello, folks. Welcome back to The Light of Day with your host, Sheldon Day, coming to you live on Orion Saturday night, September 4th, 2010. Hey, Sean, can you please shoot me a Skype message to let me know if I'm being heard clearly now? I apparently wasn't being heard here during the beginning of the show, so I'm going to have to rehash everything I said. That's okay, because I don't have a guest for tonight, so I got plenty of time left. Please let me know, Sean, if I'm coming across. Yeah, I'm going to have to rehash everything I was saying here because I was putting out some good information. Anyway, this is Light of Day, show number 24. Our dew point has been dropping below the average here in the desert. We had been pretty muggy for quite a while. Now we're still feels a little muggy out, but the dew point shows it's below the 54-degree average. This program, folks, is devoted to exposing the inbound passage of the Red Comet of Doom, also known as Planet X, Nibiru, Wormwood. It has all kinds of names. And Planet X, by the way, which in most likelihood is actually a T or L-class series cold brown dwarf star. This program is also devoted to the ruling power elite's preparations for this cosmic event, which is an ongoing, recurring, predictable event, by the way. If you're prepared, you won't be scared. And if you folks want to know what you got to do to get prepared, don't ask me, because I've never survived the apocalypse. And it's not my job, it's not totally my job, I should say, to tell you what you got to do. That's up to you to decide what you're going to do if you want to live through the cataclysms that are coming. I mean, I know there's a lot of folks that want to know what they got to do to prepare, but if you expect me to be your God to give you all the answers, I most definitely don't know them all. All I can do is guide you along with what my guests have to say. I'd appreciate it, Sean, if you'd just shoot me a Skype message, let me know how I'm coming across. Really appreciate it. I want to make sure I'm being heard before I rehash everything here. I'm fortunate enough to have Sean from Australia monitoring my show almost all the time. If something's happening, he usually sends me a message, because Jimmy there at the network, he doesn't get into his studio until around the bottom of the hour, in the first hour I'm doing this show. But actually, Sean, he's in charge of the board this weekend because Jimmy's out of town, I guess, with his daughter. Okay, I'm getting my message from Sean, and then we're going to go on here. You're coming across better now. Okay, great. That's good to know. What actually happened, folks, was my onboard Windows mixer board. I had muted the microphone on. Yeah, it's something I forgot to check before I came on, but oh well, I'm only human. I'm prone to make errors. I'm not perfect. This is amateur radio at its finest from the Light of Day studio, so I didn't really have much time to prepare for tonight's show, maybe in an hour at the most. So I'm actually trying to do the best I can here. John Moore was a guest on two Blog Talk radio shows this week. One of them was the Intel Hub, and the other was on Bill Alec and Aurora Light's shows on Achieve Radio today. So you folks might want to go check them out. Sean, if I'm not coming across loud enough, would you please let me know? I'll crank up the mic just a little bit more. But okay, we're going to cover Hurricane Earl. That was one of the hottest news stories for the week here. This was posted by Yahoo News maybe about 2 hours ago. Resilient tropical storm Earl raked over eastern Canada, leaving nearly 1 million people without power, the last gasp of what was once a monster storm that menaced the U.S. East Coast, but left it largely undamaged. The center of the storm made landfall at around hurricane strength in southern Nova Scotia just before the middle of today, but the Canadian Hurricane Center later downgraded its figures as Earl buffeted the craggy coastline with winds weakening to 51 miles an hour. So that's below Category 1 hurricane strength, because Category 1 winds start at 74, folks. Although weakened to a tropical storm over land, Earl still pounded Halifax, the region's largest city, with high winds and rain, and left some 210,000 homes and 940,000 people in the region without power, Nova Scotia Power said. The weather system had already lost some steam as it roared up the U.S. eastern seaboard overnight when it dropped to tropical storm strength. Canadian Hurricane Center meteorologist John Parker said wind speeds of up to 75 miles an hour were registered as the storm made landfall, just above the marker for hurricane strength winds of 74. But as a tropical storm, Earl was late Saturday and was located in the Gulf of St. Lawrence off Newfoundland, and forecasters said it was set to continue on a northeasterly path into the North Atlantic. Okay, thank you, Sean. I'm coming across loud and clear. I'm 5x5 now on the Orion Network. I really appreciate that, Sean. It's nice to know that I have Sean there monitoring my shows almost every week. He's on right before me, so it's quite easy for him to keep the stream on to monitor what's going on. Now, I had suspected that Hurricane Earl was being manipulated, and I had a feeling that it may actually turn into a Hurricane Katrina type scenario, but luckily enough, I proved myself wrong. I had received an email from Margot or Rhonda in my email this week that they were monitoring HAARP. They said that they thought HAARP was involved in what Earl was up to. And another signature of possible manipulation of Earl was a rectangular-shaped eye. I got a high-resolution satellite image from my friend JD up in Holbrook, Arizona, a few days ago, and it showed a rectangular-shaped eye. Now, this is a hallmark indicator of manipulation with hurricanes. It was quite rampant back in 2005 where these either hexagon or polygon shaped eyes. I can't remember how Ted Tweetmeyer had stated that in an email to me, but the way the eyes look is a possible manipulation. When Hurricane Aaron was parked off the coast of New York City on the morning of 9/11, the eye of that hurricane looked like it had some little worms inside of it or something. By the way, Earl was the biggest threat to the eastern seaboard since 1991 when Hurricane Bob went up the East Coast. So it's pretty rare to see a hurricane like this with this type of strength go up the East Coast. And according to Professor Jim McCanny, I listened to his show Thursday night, he said that when hurricanes are out in the eastern Atlantic or go up the eastern seaboard like this, this is usually a indicator of a very weak hurricane season. Well, we are halfway done with the hurricane season, folks, and we're only in the letter E right now. So his prediction may turn out to be accurate. Anyway, we'll be back to the light of day on Orion with your host, Sheldon Day. We'll be back. Stay tuned. Welcome back to the Light of Day with your host, Sheldon Day, coming to you live on Orion Network, Saturday night, September 4th, 2010. This is, show number 24, I believe. 24th show now on Orion I've done. Anyway, back to Hurricane Earl here, folks. I believe that Hurricane Earl may have been possibly a test run because I don't think he still is, but the former Homeland Security Czar, Michael Chertoff, was back in New York City, June of 2007, and I'm going to find the link on my website for this. It's something we need to be aware of because we just seen a pretty strong hurricane go up the East Coast, even though Professor McCanny has stated that this is an indication of a very weak hurricane season. But this is something we do need to be aware of. I'm trying to find it. Here we go. June 11th, 2007, Homeland Security Chief warns that New York City should be ready for a hurricane to hit. You know, sure enough, Hurricane Earl had practically scathed the eastern edge of Long Island here as it headed out into the northeast. So I'm slowly but surely bringing up this web page article I want to read to you. I'm surprised this link hasn't been pulled off the net yet, but it's still there. Again, you're listening to the Light of Day on Orion. We're live Saturday night, September 4th, 2010. No guest for tonight. I'm just going to be reading articles. I practically had about 45 minutes here to prepare for my show tonight. Well, this article is sure opening up very, very slowly for me. There it is, finally. Okay, Chertoff warns New York City to get ready for a hurricane. June 12th, 2007. Homeland Security Secretary Michael Chertoff warned Monday. Now, keep in mind, this is 3 years ago, that the nation's largest city needs to be prepared for a hurricane powerful enough to cause serious flooding in lower Manhattan and elsewhere. Quote, "It's always a little odd being in New York and talking about hurricanes," Chertoff said after touring a new command center at the Office of Emergency Management in Brooklyn. Still, he added, a hurricane would, quote, would be an extraordinarily devastating blow to the city, end quote. Weather experts have said New York is about due for a major hurricane with 130-mile-per-hour winds and a 30-foot storm surge that could cause the Hudson and East Rivers to overflow. Such a storm could inflict more than $100 billion in economic losses while forcing the evacuation of 3 million people, more than six times the population of pre-Katrina New Orleans. Historically, the city has endured a hurricane roughly once every 90 years. The last major New York area hurricane in 1938 caused 700 deaths along the eastern seaboard. Last year, 2006, the city unveiled a new hurricane plan to evacuate 3 million people while sheltering more than 600,000 others. Emergency management officials estimated the preparedness costs at up to $30 million. Mayor Michael Bloomberg plans to station himself at the emergency management office for 2 weeks in July of 2007 to better familiarize himself with the facility in case of an emergency, Deputy Mayor Ed Schuyler said. Quote, we obviously can't control the weather, Schuyler said, but we can control our response. So that's just something you may want to keep in the back burner, folks, in case we see something big hit New York City area. Also, back in 2006, the Weather Channel did a two-season series called It Could Happen Tomorrow, and sure enough, one of the episodes dealt with a Category 4 hurricane hitting New York City. So, just something to keep in mind. I know there's at least two more hurricanes out in the Atlantic there, close to Africa. We want to keep a close eye on those, see what they're up to. And here's another dot connector in case we see some type of catastrophic hurricane in an unusual place this year. The Gulf Stream loop current is essentially gone, or anyway, it stopped, and the warm water is accumulating in the North Atlantic. John Moore mentioned this on Bill Alex's show today on Achieve Radio, and he actually provided a map that shows exactly where out in the Atlantic the Gulf Stream loop current goes to. So, you know, with all the warm water accumulating more southward now in the Atlantic, we could see an incredibly monstrous hurricane develop, unless what Professor McCanny has told us, that this myth about warm waters fueling hurricanes turns out to be valid. Well, I guess maybe we could disregard that assumption then. So we'll just have to see what happens. New oil rig explosion in the Gulf, folks. Coast Guard reports a blast on oil rig in the Gulf of Mexico. This was published 2 days ago on New York Times. An offshore petroleum platform exploded and was burning Thursday in the Gulf about 80 miles off the Louisiana coast, west of the site where BP's undersea well spilled after a rig explosion. The Coast Guard says no one was killed in the blast, which was reported by a commercial helicopter flying over the area Thursday morning. All 13 people aboard the rig have been accounted for with one injury. The extent of the injury was not known. Coast Guard Commander we've got a commander from the Coast Guard that said some of those from the rig were spotted in emergency flotation devices, also known as Gumby suits. Seven Coast Guard helicopters, two airplanes, and three cutters were dispatched to the scene from New Orleans, Houston, and Mobile, Alabama. The Coast Guard commander said authorities do not know whether oil was leaking from the site. The Department of Homeland Security said the platform was in about 2,500 feet of water and owned by Mariner Energy of Houston. Homeland Security said it was not producing oil and gas. You know, I got to talking to John DiNardo about this, folks, and me and him believe that, this is just our theory that maybe they were getting ready to pull something off, and it was similar to what happened the first time, that they wanted to create the impression that, you know, they had screwed up and this was just another accident. I got to thinking about this, and I think it was may have just been a natural disaster in the Gulf, with the possibility of land masses arising in the Gulf. Maybe it triggered an explosion to occur on this rig. It's just hard to tell. I mean, we don't have enough real evidence to point to what's going on in the Gulf. But me and John DiNardo are convinced that the Planet X is coming in and causing things like this to happen. I got an email from my friend John in Milwaukee. He has some links here. At least one or two of them didn't cooperate for me before the show started, but they're entitled, the first one's entitled Europe Descends into an Early Winter. The other one is Half a Meter of Snow in Norway in August. And the other one was Early Snow Hits Russia. We'll cover that when we get back. Stay tuned, folks. You're listening to Light of Dan Orion. Folks, welcome back to the Light of Day with your host, Sheldon Dan Orion. We're live Saturday night, September 4th, 2010. Show number 24 in progress. Had about 45 minutes to prepare for my show tonight. So, let's see. Where was I? I can't remember what I was talking about. I did want to wrap up whatever it was I was talking about, but oh well. Tropical low that was Gaston may be heading west towards the Caribbean. Now an 80% chance that Gaston may reform as tropical storm. Some long-term predictions indicate that Gaston may enter the Gulf late next week. That's on Golden Triangle Weather. If you folks ever want to check out really good hurricane charts and graphs and that, Golden Triangle Weather out of Beaumont, Texas, is a pretty good website to look at. Well, let's see. There was a 7.5 quake in New Zealand. I got that from Ann Morrison. She's one of my research associates. I'm going to read that. In actuality, folks, that would have been an 8.5 earthquake. Keep in mind they are massaging the data that they're throwing out to the masses because they knew when Charles Richter died back in the mid-80s, that 25 years into the future, the Earth would be undergoing extremely violent Earth changes, and they didn't want to alarm the masses too much, so they had to keep the earthquake data massaged. This clicking on the email as I speak right now. This was sent to me from Ann Morrison yesterday. This was a shallow earthquake. A tsunami denial was issued for it. And yesterday at 11:35 a.m. Central Time, a massive shallow earthquake occurred on a transform fault west of Australia and New Zealand, as tsunami denial had been issued. Now, this was a powerful quake, even though it was shallow. It had rocked much of New Zealand's South Island. No immediate tsunami alert had been issued and no injuries have been reported. The quake, which hit 19 miles west of the southern city of Christchurch, shook a wide area with initial radio reports saying items were tossed from store shelves and roof tiles cracked by the strong trembler. Geological Agency GNS Science says the earthquake was 21 miles below the Earth's surface. New Zealand's national radio reports a trembler hit at 4:35 a.m., shaking thousands of residents awake. There are no immediate reports of serious damage. A local newspaper reported widespread damage and power cuts. Christchurch is New Zealand's third largest city, with a population of about 340,000. The Pacific Tsunami Warning Center said there was a risk of a tsunami along coast within 100 kilometers of the epicenter. But keep in mind, that's within 100 kilometers of the epicenter, not along the west coast of the U.S., etc. One person was quoted as saying, "I thought a large truck had just driven through the front window." New Zealand lies at the southern end of the so-called Pacific Ring of Fire, an arc of active and dormant volcanoes stretching along the eastern edge of Asia, north across the Aleutian Islands of Alaska, and south along the coast of North and South America. The police said damage and power outages had been reported as far afield as Dunedin, which is 223 miles to the southwest. "There is a row of shops completely demolished right in front of me," Colleen Simpson told the press, adding that many people in Christchurch was out in the street in their pajamas looking scared and worried. Susan Birkbeck, who lives in the center of the city, said, quote, "It was absolutely shocking. We're all terrified and scared of what's going to happen next." She said she was asleep when suddenly the house started shaking and there was a smashing sound. "I thought a large truck had just driven through the front window. I'm now sitting on my bed surrounded by broken glass and I have no idea what to do. The walls and roof are just hanging. It's terrifying," she added. And Anne Morrison, she was a guest on Bill Deagle's show on Genesis yesterday, and she was talking about these volcanoes that are going off. And she did send me an email here detailing where all the active volcanoes are right now, and I got to looking at these before the show started. And sure enough, there are a lot of active volcanoes going off in the southern hemisphere right now. And well, me and John DiNardo, Marshall Masters, and some others believe Planet X is coming up from the south, so it makes sense that we'll be seeing most volcanoes going off in the southern hemisphere as Planet X ingresses into the deeper into our inner solar system. I'm trying to find the email here from Ann Morrison. Can't find. Oh, there it is. "Believe it or not, I do most of the preparations for my show on all the inundation of emails I get from people. There's so much information embedded in these emails I get. Okay, I'm just gonna read. I'm not gonna give all the details, but I'll just give some locations off where a lot of the active volcanoes are occurring at: Italy, Indonesia, Montserrat. There's one in the Hawaiian Islands, Ecuador, Russia, Galeras Volcano in Colombia, Papua New Guinea, Japan, Mexico, Nicaragua, Guatemala, Papua New Guinea, El Salvador, Indonesia, Batu Tara Volcano, Indonesia, Costa Rica, Mariana Trench. Well, that's an earthquake in the Mariana Trench. Vanuatu. I don't even know how to pronounce that. I'm not even going to try. But two in Vanuatu, or however in the hell you pronounce it. One in Guatemala, Colombia, Indonesia, Papua New Guinea, Chile, Colombia, Hawaii again. So as you folks can tell, a lot of these active volcanoes are going off in the southern hemisphere. If anybody would like a copy of that, just shoot me an email. That's gem3andtucson@q.com. gem3andtucson@q.com. We're going to be coming back into the break here, the top of the hour break, in about maybe 2 minutes. I'm going to read an email I got from a new lady I've added to my email list by the name of Kimberly. She talks about, shows a list of where a lot of earthquakes have been happening. You're listening to The Light of Day and Orion on Orion. This is your host, Sheldon Day. Keep in mind, folks, you may want to check out Bill Alex's Achieve radio show, Vortex Network News from today, because he had John Moore on there. Well, let's see. I'm looking for Kimberly. Let's see. Kimberly. I would like to mention where some of these have been happening. By the way, Bill Alex, he's going to be on a little exposition going around the country, I guess. So you folks, if you want to shoot me an email, I'll send you information on that. Boy, this just pisses me off. You know, I seen it right on the current inbox page, and now I can't find the darn thing. I don't know where it is. Here it is. Found it. Okay, from Kimberly, 6:21 a.m. this morning. Oh, weak boy, man. You gotta be prepared like you wouldn't believe it. Otherwise, it doesn't come across right on the radio. Okay, Kimberly sent this earthquake map. There was a 6.1 in the Tonga today. There's been a few going on in New Zealand. Oh, there's the break. We'll be back. Stay tuned, folks.
Orion Talk Radio Network is here. The First Amendment of the Constitution grants us freedom of speech. That's the freedom to express our views and opinions without censorship. If you listen to mainstream radio at all, you'll notice that free speech is pretty hard to find these days, with just a handful of networks offering programs that dare to discuss topics and issues that have a profound impact on our daily lives. The mainstream media simply lies by omission and distortion of the facts. The Orion Talk Radio Network is committed to bringing you entertaining and thought-provoking programming that dares to tell the truth. And you can help us as we grow our network. If you think you have what it takes to host a show, you know of someone interested in hosting a show, or any other suggestions, comments, or questions, please drop us an email at OrionTalkRadio@gmail.com. That's OrionTalkRadio@gmail.com. And thank you for listening to the Orion Talk Radio Network. We have more listeners than the big boys' HD2 channels. This is Micro 1650 AM, Tonawanda, New York.